I'd like to welcome everyone here this evening. I have just a couple of brief announcements before we get started with the actual service here. There will be no announcements between songs, okay? It's going to just flow without any kind of interruption, so be aware of that. If you did forget to mute your cell phone, you might want to do that as well. And then because of the reverential nature of the service, we'd ask that there be no clapping for any of the specials that are performed. So thank you.
In Isaiah 7:14, the scripture says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." And in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace."
One small child in the land of a thousand, one small dream of a Savior tonight, one small hand reaching out to the starlight, one small city of light. Oh, one king bringing his gold and riches, one king ruling army of might, one king kneeling with incense and candlelight, one king bringing us life. Oh, 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 oh. See him lying in cradle beneath him, see him smiling in a star, see his mother praising his father, see his tiny eyelids fall. One small light from a flame of a candle, one small light from a city of mine, one small light from the stars in the endless night, one small light from a face, oh, King on bended knee. See his mother praising his father, see the blessed infant sleep. One small child in the land of a thousand, one small dream in a Savior of night, one small hand reaching out to starlight, one small Savior of life. Oh, oh, oh.
of infinite worth. Behold the babe in yonder manger lowing, 'tis God's own Son come down in human form. Fall on your knees before the Lord most holy. Honor divine, honor when Christ was born. Sent from on high to purchase our salvation, that we might dwell with him ever above. What grace untold to leave the bliss of glory and die for sinners, guilty and forlorn. With joy lift up.
Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed as to this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end."
Luke 2:8-14. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.
Shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground. The angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around, and glory shone around. Fear not, said he, for mighty dread and sees their trouble.
Before the promised Holy One, Emmanuel. It was a holy night that marked his lowly birth. It shone down upon the infant Son of God, Emmanuel, Messiah. She
will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us.
And ransom captive Israel.
hopeless world would wait. Sin demanded justice at a price we could not pay. But God displayed his mercy, the greatest gift of love. When we could not reach heaven, heaven came to us. He made a way in a manger, a way through the sun. Messiah, the promised, before time had begun. For God so loved this world, that we knew what love would cost. He made a way in a manger, to make a way to the cross. In Bethlehem, a stable became a throne of grace, as God himself, the Savior, drew near to take our place. His mother smiled in wonder, as shepherds stood in awe, for the sacrifice of heaven lay sleeping in the straw. He made a way in a manger, a way through the sun. Messiah, the promised, before time had begun. For God so loved this world, though he knew what love would cost, he made a way in a manger, to make a way to the cross. He is the life who died our death. The precious Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The precious Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. He made a way in a manger, a way through the sun. Messiah, the promised, before time had begun. For God so loved this world, though he knew what love would cost, he made a way in a manger, to make a way to the cross.
In just a few minutes, I'm going to be reading from John chapter 1 and verse 16. You're welcome to follow along, although it's not necessary. But that'll be the verse that I reference in just a few minutes. And I'll be reading from John chapter 1 and verse 16. Christmas is the time of the year when we celebrate Jesus coming into the world. One of the key words related to the birth of Jesus at Christmas time is the word we call in theology incarnation. Incarnation simply means this: God becomes a man. The late Alva J. McLean refers to and defines incarnation as, quote, that divine act in which the second person of the triune God is embodied in human nature, flesh, and form. Again, incarnation means God becomes a man. In John chapter 1, it's interesting because the Apostle John describes the incarnation in what I would argue is the most amazing detail in all of the New Testament. Jesus, as the eternal Word, takes on flesh and physically dwells among humanity. In John 1:16, which will be our verse that I'm going to read in a few moments, John moves from describing seeing Jesus in the flesh to what he received from him. And it is simply, in one word, grace. But one thing that's interesting about this description as I read it is that it's not one time. He didn't receive grace from the Lord Jesus on one occasion or at one time, but it was ongoing and unending, ceaseless grace. You and I have, probably have, or will have, depending on whether or not on the naughty list or not, received some gifts for Christmas. But those gifts, my friends, will end. In just a minute, when I read John 1:16, I want you to think about this. Unlike the gifts that you receive, what we receive as a child of God never ceases. Each and every single moment of every day, we continuously receive this same thing from where? And that's what we're going to look at this evening. John 1:16 is what I'll be reading from. It's a brief verse, but is full of truth. It says in John 1:16, "For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace." Now, before I describe the verse, I thought that I would take a minute to tell you what John 1:14 says. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, the first 18 verses are what are called the prologue, which is a fancy way of saying John describes to you everything in those verses he's going to in the rest of the book. In John 1:14, we have the very well-known verse, which is very simply that Jesus, as the eternal Word of God, becomes flesh. I think it's probably the most significant verse related to the incarnation in all of the Word of God. What you have here is that God, the second person of the triune Godhead, takes on human flesh in the form of Jesus of Nazareth. In case you're not familiar with the verse, it reads, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." And so the Word becomes flesh. And if you notice what John describes in verse 14, in a sense, what he saw. And what did he see? He saw Christ's glory. Christ's glory is Jesus revealing God's divine glory and majesty in human flesh. It's amazing that John would describe what he saw in verse 14 as manifested in the flesh of Jesus of Nazareth, God's divine glory. Now, the traditional illustration of this is the transfiguration. And so I'm not going to use that. Because the glory of Jesus was seen in some of the most, we might say, ordinary events of the disciples' lives. In John chapter 2, we have the first miracle that Jesus performed. It's the first of seven signs, and the purpose of the signs is that someone would trust and believe and have eternal life. But in the first sign, and you probably may be for at least familiar with it a little bit, is the miracle of Cana at Galilee. Jesus turns water into wine just like that. Water had been completely filled up in the jugs. There was no room for anything else, and Jesus just willed it forth into wine. But at the end of the sign, we see the purpose of the sign. It says in John 2:11, "This, the beginning of Jesus' signs, he did in Cana of Galilee." But notice, "and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." As the signs go on, what happens is they believe a little bit more, and then they believe a little bit more, and so they grow in their knowledge of who the Lord Jesus is. All I want you to understand is in verse 14 is very simply this. During Jesus' earthly ministry, the disciples saw the glory of God revealed to them in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. what makes verse 16 so amazing and so apropos for Christmas is what you'll see here is not what they saw, but what they received. And what they received continuously. And if you are a child of God, you have access and receive the same thing. So what you'll find is in that verse, verse 16, it says, from His fullness, that is Jesus, we have all received grace upon grace. Where did they receive this? Christ's fullness. Christ's fullness is another way of saying that Jesus is the source of all that they received. Jesus is the fullness of every single thing that they would ever receive. This would be, in a sense, very similar to Colossians chapter 1 in verses 19 through 20. You see, Paul years later looks back and sees that Jesus fully manifested in flesh God. And it's written in this amazing passage in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 says, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Christ, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, having made peace through the blood of His cross. So where they received this amazing gift was from the fullness of Christ. You see, because Jesus is fully God in human form, He can provide all our needs. Jesus is never lacking in resources. He's never depleted. He never grows weary. He never ceases to have the ability to give us ongoing provisions. So where they receive this from is fully from God in the person of Jesus Christ. What did they receive? Grace. What's grace? Grace isn't mercy. Grace is God's unmerited favor. I mention that to you because sometimes we confuse mercy and grace. Grace is God giving you what you do not deserve. Now, if you stop and consider that for a moment, one would assume sinners would receive grace at best once, maybe twice on a good day. But no, God, in a sense, says that through the fullness of Jesus Christ, in other words, Jesus, the incarnate Word of God, gives us grace, but how often? The verse says grace upon grace. And you might be confused saying, well, what does that mean? What it means is grace for grace. It literally means in the Greek that through the fullness of Jesus, you receive grace instead of more grace. I had a seminary professor who once told me in between class, because I thought to myself, what in the world? What does that look like? He told me, Stephen, imagine an infinitely long row of sand trucks. And my first thought was, I think we've been in class too long. What's he talking about? But he said, imagine a row of trucks as far as infinity, filled with sand. And each truck goes up to the sand lot and dumps sand. And then there's another one, and then there's another one, and then there's another one. That is what John is describing that God gives to us. He gives to us one bit of grace after a next, and He replaces grace with more grace. Morris, in his commentary, says it this way. He says, God's grace to His people is continuous and is never exhausted. Grace knows no interruption and no limit. You see, because Jesus is God incarnate, His supply of grace is never exhausted and it never ceases. You and I receive grace from the Lord Jesus Christ every day, one after the next, after the next, after the next. And so Christmas is when Jesus, of course, God Himself, takes on the human form of Jesus of Nazareth. And when we believe in Him, we receive eternal life. And we don't receive grace just simply at the beginning, but we receive grace each and every single day, continuously and unceasing. It's an anonymous poet who once wrote, entitled God's Abundant Grace, "Grace upon grace, unceasing flowing, from the heart of God always bestowing, a boundless gift for every need, His love displayed in thought and deed." I'm going to pray. And when we finish, we're going to make a circle and have our annual candle lighting. But join me as we pray. Our Father, as we come to you at this time of the year, we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for reminding us that your grace is not simply one time. It is ongoing and unceasingly, and it never ends. Father, at the point of salvation, it's completely an act of grace. We trust in what you have done for us, and you give to us that which we absolutely do not deserve. But Father, we oftentimes just assume that that is the ending of it. But as John says, the grace that you give to us is unending. But grace comes from its source, the fullness of Jesus, who is the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, far beyond anything we could imagine, God becoming a man and dwelling among us. Father, I praise you and thank you that when we believe and receive eternal life, we receive an unending flow of grace every single day of our lives. Father, as we conclude our time, I pray that everything we have done has pleased you. And Father, we pray this in the name above all names, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.